All right, House Energy will please come to order. Ms. Blair, will you please take the roll?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bishop?
Excused.
Representative Brewster?
Here.
Representative Fielder?
Here.
Vice Chair Galloway?
Present.
Representative Green?
Excused.
Representative Harvey?
Here.
Representative Kazmaier?
Here.
Representative Kmetz?
Here.
Representative Knutson?
Here.
Representative Cordham?
Here.
Representative Phelan?
Here.
Vice Chair Sullivan?
Excused.
Chair Zolnikov?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, we have a quorum. We are ready to do business. Just a couple things. So we are hearing House Bill 394 and 395 today. I did mention on the floor that we would possibly do EA, but the amendment for House Bill 349 is not ready, so we will not be doing any executive action today. So yeah, these are the two things on the agenda. So with that, Representative Windy Boy, would you like to open on your bill?
Testing. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Jonathan Windyboy, House District 32. That goes from Box Elder all the way to Hinsdale on the south side of Highway 2. I bring before you the House Bill 394 before you, which is a title, Require Examination of Creation of State Tribal Education Accord Schools. I'm going to keep my opening brief, Madam Chair, and let the proponents and opponents have at her. And when you take a look at the fiscal note, Madam Chair, on that one there, we take a look at the description of fiscal impact. And when you read that, that's basically what the bill is going to do. This thing is going to cost a whopping $7,500. And 394 requires the Board of Public Education to explore state tribal education accords and state tribal education accord schools. And as you can see, cost to be of the board will be doing that to cover the cost of the during the interim. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll stand for questions.
Thank you. We will now open to proponents for the bill. Please remember, if you are testifying today, to please sign in outside the door.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, State Superintendent Elsie Arntzen, A-R-N-T-Z-E-N. What a pleasure to come in front of you today with such a great bill. I did some research on this bill. We are following Alaska's footsteps at this point. In March of last year, they passed something very similar to this through Senator Stevens. We have visited with the Education Department in Alaska and watching how they are progressing through this. Also, in 2013, Washington State also did the very same thing, and they have had great results in consultation that's very authentic with the tribes that they have in Washington State. What I am standing here in front of you is saying that if we so support what our Constitution states with Indian Education for All, and I hope you all had an opportunity to attend our event in the Rotunda today. In the Senate, of course, we had an honor song as well by Chippewa Cree. Very, very honored to be able to bring that forward because it's part of who we are in Montana, our original Montanans. What I'm looking forward from my view is making sure that authentic consultation occurs at the tribal level. And then the governments, the sovereign governments, work together to see exactly what does that mean for our tribal children. 10% of our students across our state are tribal. Let's honor them by making sure that we have an opportunity in a consultation that's very authentic moving forward. I do have, Madam Chair and members of the committee, I have an individual who is working through some consultation through the Every Student Succeed Act, which is the federal act in education that replaced No Child Left Behind. We are We're getting great progress. I think this is another step forward to allow the tribes, to allow the schools to work together on what is best for our children in our community. If we're local control in our state, this bill is a perfect example of local control. With that, Madam Chair, I'm sure there are others that will stand as proponents. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Arnson. Further proponents in the room, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair Zolnikoff and members of the committee. My name is Lats Forstar. Forstar is spelled F-O-U-R-S-T-A-R. I have a letter today dated February 13th, 2023. It states, Dear Madam Chair Zolnikoff, the Montana American Indian Caucus writes in support of HB 394, introduced by Representative Jonathan Windyboy. HB 394 requires the examination of creation of state tribal education accord schools. This bill supports the exploration of how accord schools will contribute to better develop the educational potential of American Indian children, further the state's commitment and its educational goals to the preservation of American Indian cultural integrity and enhancing the self-determination of tribal nations located in the state. This bill allows participating tribes and schools the opportunity to preserve our culture and language through accord schools. As members of the Montana American Indian Caucus, we urge the passage of HB 394 requiring the examination of the creation of state tribal education accord schools submitted by the Montana American Indian Caucus, Senators and Representatives Fox, Morjo, Small, Weber, Hawk, Running Wolf, Smith, Stuart Paragoy, Weatherwax, and of course the bill sponsor, Representative Jonathan Windyboy. I'm the director of the Montana American Indian Caucus. This is a great bill. We urge it to pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Good afternoon, Energy, Technology, and Federal Relations Committee. My name is Patrick Iwaki. That's spelled Y-A-W-A-K-I-E. I'm representing the Blackfeet Tribe today in support of House Bill 394. We support the study of accord schools to assist in understanding the potential these styles of schools can have on our tribal communities. There's great success from students who attend these styles of charter schools in the preparation for higher educational opportunities. Many of these programs incorporate STEAM programs or the study of science, technology, engineering, art, and math. The design of the accord schools develops a pathway for better financial accountability, decision-making based on data, and helps create a positive school culture that promotes success. We believe collaborating the accord schools concept with promoting American Indian culture in these programs will help American Indian students succeed in their academic endeavors. The creation of this program will help broadening the opportunities available to tribal students across the state. This will help them get into the workforce or into one of the Montana tribal colleges or in the Montana university system. On the Blackfeet Reservation, the Pagan Institute is a guiding example of the successes of these schools and can provide great data for the study. Our greatest success of the program are the restoration and rejuvenation of the Blackfeet Tribe's language speakers. The incorporation of language, core curriculum, and traditional ecological knowledge provides a huge stepping stone for students that enter public school or post-secondary education. Many of the same students return to the Pagan Institute as teachers, which is a huge success in our eyes. We would like to see these successes available to other tribal nations in the state, and with the support of a study, the data will justify the creation. House Bill 394 will also support the state of Montana's constitution, specifically Article 10, Section 1, Subsection 2, and can build on the responsibility as well as build on the government-to-government relationship between the state of Montana and tribal nations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Iwaki. Next proponent, please.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of committee. For the record, my name is Jade Barr, B-A-H-R, and I'm here on behalf of the Montana Budget and Policy Center. We rise in support of HB 394. We believe it reaffirms the state's important commitment to the government, to government relations with tribal nations, and works to explore educational goals that could further preserve the cultural integrity of American Indians in the state. We don't believe this bill is asking too much by just creating the space to discuss and figure out if state tribal accord schools could work for Montana. Other states, as you have heard, have implemented similar types of schools to address high dropout rates and low graduation rates for American Indian students. In 2019-2020 school year, the American Indian student dropout rate in Montana was 4.7% and increased the following school year to 5.87%. The graduation rate for American Indian students was 68.3%. So that's meaning that there's still a large percentage that aren't graduating. And this bill could potentially be looking at an answer to improve those rates. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Donnie Wetzel Jr., W-E-T-Z-E-L, and I'm the Tribal Student Achievement Relations and Resiliency Director for OPI. I'd like to be in support of this bill because it is really looking at creating a relevant education system with the two entities of the tribal nation in the school districts together in support of the youth. As the lady brought up some of our statistics. As we work in Indian country, it's very important that we have both knowledge streams to be helped supporting our youth, and some of that is centered in the language and culture. And again, this is just a study, and I think it's a great opportunity to look into ways of changing some things in our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Chair Zolnikoff, members of the committee, my name is Keegan Medrano. That is M-E-D-R-A-N-O, and I'm here on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union of Montana. We rise in support and appreciate the good representative for bringing this bill forward and share with the other proponents on why they are supporting this bill. Thank you all.
Thank you. Next proponent, please. Seeing no further proponents on the room, do we have proponents online?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, we will move to opponents in the room, please. Seeing none, do we have opponents online?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, we will move to informational witnesses. Seeing none and seeing none online, we will move to questions from the committee. Representative Fielder.
Madam Chair, I have a question for Superintendent Arnston.
Superintendent.
Madam Chair, Representative.
Madam Chair, Superintendent, can you please tell me the difference between what we're calling charters? What are they, Accord schools and regular public schools?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. This is not a charter bill. I believe that the representative also agrees with me on that, and I know that we had a proponent that stated it.
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Madam Chair. Maybe I should clarify that.
Clarification.
What's the definition difference between Accord schools and public schools?
Thank you. An accord is a discussion. It's an accord is something between two entities. That's what we're bringing forward to you to have it go through the Board of Public Ed, constitutional body, as well as with our office in helping and aiding, but making sure then that that sovereign nation, the tribe, is also at the table to really discuss how should education look like on their tribal sovereign ground? How should it look like in comparison to the public education system that we have? Should there be anything unique or separate? I know there are regulations that if indeed a public dollar was to flow, there would need to be some understanding of what that means. All of this information is going to flow for the next session to see if indeed the opportunity of having the accord or the discussion between the Board of Public Ed and a tribal government might lead to something, as you just had mentioned. But at this point, what we are asking for is really meaningful, authentic discussion to get government together, to talk to government on what should the future, especially dealing with children at this point, should look like.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Vice Chair Galloway.
Thank you for the sponsor.
Representative Windy Boy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Windy Boy. Can you help me understand who from the tribe is going to work with who and what sort of things are going to discuss? How is this going to evolve?
Tribal councils, who is the ultimate governing a board or authority from each tribal nation. and they're the ones that it's either going to be them or their designee, whoever they designee. Maybe they have Indian Education Department within their tribe, but they're the ultimate authority of the tribe that will make the ultimate decision. And that's who the Board of Public Ed will work with in this situation.
Follow up. So, Madam Chair, Representative, so do you have folks that have already been working on a plan that they just need to hammer out, or is this something that you've got to develop first? And if I might further that question, was there seven different entities then? Are they going to meet together and collaborate, or is this going to come individually from each entity?
Madam Chair, Representative, Vice Chair, right now there's eight instead of seven because the Little Shell had been recently federally recognized, so there'll be eight tribal governments. And each of those will come to the table with the poor, as you heard on the bill here, that the Board of Public Education is going to reach out to them, each individually like that. And however, whatever plan there is, I mean, if everybody listened to me and followed my plan, this world would be perfect. But they won't. But there are. I think that once we get everybody at the table and kind of hammer out some of this mission that this bill is going to have, we'll come back here, and then in the next session we're going to find out what it is that's going to be recommended, if any recommendations come forth.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Kmetz.
Madam Chair, I have a question for the superintendent.
Superintendent.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Representative.
Superintendent, glad to have you here today.
Thank you.
Currently, what is the difference between education on and off the reservation? Are the programs different? Do they teach different subjects? Do they go different places? I'm just curious.
Thank you very much for that question. That's a great question. Madam Chair, Representative, because the dollars flow, and remember, you know, your purpose is to fund, you know, we're 51 cents of the funding dollar that you have of all taxes that go to public education. There are regulations that abound with all of those dollars. So when it comes to the 11 teaching and learning standards that I hold, those are implemented at the local level. They could be implemented differently with flexibility through any cultural aspect of it. But I do know you've heard bills on language preservation. You've heard bills regarding multiple things that deal with how an entity of tribal government might be different than a normal public school or a regular public school that's off reservation. But there are some astounding statistics at this point, and you heard just a few of them that are here, that says that there is such a discrepancy between achievement, not just achievement that is recognized at graduation, but achievement all the way through. And I firmly believe, and that's why I'm very strong proponent of this, that with the federal action that I have to our public school system, through any of the monies that flow from the federal government under the federal government law, it is exceedingly important that we give Montana flexibilities. I believe that's what this accord is going to do. It's going to give respect to the tribe itself that is sovereign, and it's going to give respect to the Board of Public Ed, who is constitutional, to be able to have a better path forward. I want to honor the previous superintendent that came before me, had schools of promise. I want to honor everything that has come before me. But the numbers are still there. Our children are still there, and they are demanding different. I believe a robust, authentic discussion that is given with full respect in the manner that this bill is going to be giving is a path forward to recognize that there may be different needed. There may be more amplification of language or culture or in science or in some manner to elevate and honor our first Montanans. And I look at this strictly as not a simple conversation, but a conversation that is respectful. We have attempted it. We're doing many, many things within the good work of the agency. This is another step forward, as I keep saying, to make sure that the partnership coming to you in 2025 may ask for more flexibilities to honor culture and to respect what is happening on our tribal lands and our tribal schools. As I said, 10% of our children are them. We want to make sure that they have the best education forward. And again, I come to all of you. Does one size fit all in everything that we do? I don't believe so. There are two BIE schools that are located in our state. They are federally responsible schools. No state dollar goes to them by your pen, by any means. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at a public school quite possibly having flexibilities that honors culture, but also is accountable. And that's what the discussion through this bill will be. Accountability with honor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Follow-up for Ms. Barr, Madam Chair.
Follow-up. Chair, Representative.
Madam Chair, Ms. Barr, I'm just curious, is the preservation of the Indian language, is it a priority on the reservation? There are several languages across the state, and is there any effort to preserve those languages in both verbal and written form currently?
I don't know that I would be the one to ask that question, if you might refer to the sponsor or re-refer.
I would refer to the sponsor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Kometz. Good question. You know, since 2013, during that session, there was I made the attempt to put in Indian language immersion programs at that point in time. And as that bill was going through the process, I thought to myself, how in the heck can we immerse anything until we know what we're going to immerse? And so that was what became the Montana Indian Language Preservation Program, which we just passed out of the House the other day. And what the impetus of that was to provide the opportunity for the tribes to have the stamp of approval of all of the what you talked about. There was a whole list there that was crossed out about the different sources and sign language and all of that tangible goods were involved in that. So in the last 10 years and 5 sessions, we do have a cache of material that's stored over at the Montana Historical Society. And so the reason for that, for those materials for curriculum development, was to provide for the Indian language immersion program. It was to provide curriculum material for the existing Indian Ed for All programs across the state. But it's just that we needed that. That was the reason why we moved it out of the Commerce Department over to the OPI. So it just made sense that they're all working under the same roof there, that they provide this opportunity. And this is going to be something new, because to collect all those tangible goods from the tribes, now we moved it over to the OPI now, so then going to the next phase of implementation of those materials at the local public schools.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up.
Just a comment, Representative. We just never know when we would need the code talkers again.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great thing to preserve those languages and preserve that culture. And that's my comment.
Yep. Thank you. You're right.
Seeing no further questions, Representative, would you like to close on your bill?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, you know, this has been something that I've been working on for the 20 years I've been here, trying to get something. And I look back about some of the things, and I'm not faulting the superintendent, I'm not faulting the previous superintendents, but it's just that a system that like the good representative had mentioned in the lines of questioning about the importance of preserving these languages, and this is something that I'm kind of looking at, maybe that if the tribe decides to put one of these accord schools in place and to prioritize a fully more language immersion approach. Because over the years, you know, when I questioned, when I queried the OPI over the course of the 20 years I've been here, the superintendent is right that the numbers are still there. Just within the last decade, these national testing scores that are taken nationwide, Montana was 48th in those testing scores. And then all of the school districts within reservations of the public school systems were at the very bottom of that. And so I tried pretty much everything. I even went as far as introducing and sponsoring the charter school bill in 2017. And my mindset is, if something works, that's what I'm going to support. That's what I'm going to get behind. And is this going to work? I don't know. But it's something new and it's something that's working for other states, so I'm willing to go and step out on the limb and take that chance. That's just the kind of guy I am. So thank you, and I hope that you support this.
This concludes the hearing on House Bill 394. Okay, we will now open the hearing on House Bill 395. Representative, would you like to open on your bill?
Madam Chair, I have some handouts here, if I may.
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you kind of peruse through that information there, I wanted to provide you the impetus of the next bill, 395. And as the and this one here is also going to be a bill with no fiscal note on it. It's a bill, an act entitled, an act ensuring the opportunity for tribal consultation to enhance the educational opportunities for American Indian children, requiring school districts serving significant numbers of American Indian children to consult with tribes, establishing the parameters for the consultation, establishing reporting requirements. And one of the things that, before I go into the further part of this and the handoffs, Madam Chair, you know, this is something that under Article 10, Section 8, that does provide for consultation for on local schools, because I'm always hearing that, and you guys probably do too, that we look at local control. And so what this is, what's happening with this, and what I've seen throughout my course of time, and what's happening with local school districts, is that this is something that's isn't really happening. And why I say that is that October 2019, there was a resolution that was passed on my tribe that had specifically stated that the tribe had issued an emergency of our Nahio Ojibwe language of our tribe. But yet at the same time, the tribe made that declaration, but it seems like the school isn't really going deeper into the subject of what the tribe is. And so why I say that is because when you start to take a look at the numbers, and if you take a look at the handouts, Madam Chair, that on line 19 on page 1 there, that says specifically that a school district with an enrollment of 50% or more American Indian students shall annually initiate consultation with the tribal government or the tribal government's designee of the tribe most closely associated with the American Indian students of the district. The tribal government may decline consultation. This section does not prevent a school district with an enrollment of less than 50% American Indian students from initiating consultation with a tribal government if the school district determines that consultation would benefit the education outcomes of American Indian students. And I wanted to preface this, Madam Chair, because some of the things that's happening, that when you take a look at some of the school districts on the list here, that as you know, that there is an tax base on reservations because of the trust status that a lot of the tribes have there. And so just like if I were to go to Great Falls or Havre or Missoula or Billings or any place else that's not on a reservation, we don't have the luxury of floating mill levies or anything like that to provide for some of this extra funding for some local education purposes. So what happens, there's a lot of federal monies that do come down, even though that the school districts do have that, is under the umbrella of the state's OPI system, but there is what's called impact aid monies, federal monies that come down. And there's a lot of things that happens with these two entities, a tribal entity and a school board entity. And right now, what is kind of overlooked, the way I see it, is that the tribe is a local governing authority, just like city governments, county governments, and all of that stuff. And so, when you take a look at this deal, as I mentioned, that a lot of the school districts within reservations are the schools that are at the very rung of those testing scores. Under the state of Montana, all 403 school districts in Montana is ranked 48th, and this was a few years ago. I'm not too sure what it is now. I didn't get the updated numbers. But some of the things here, as far as the consultation piece of this is required, a lot of times on the federal government and the state government, we're always coming in there beating our chest and thinking, I am from the government and I'm here to help. And so, you know, that's kind of like how that approach that we've been hearing for centuries, even, that federal government always tells what's best for us. And now in this case, the state government comes in and tells what's best for us. And so that's what we're basically doing it with this bill here, is giving some parity, some equity here. And why it's so important, getting back to Representative Kometz's question about language preservation and stuff, are we doing anything? Is there anything being done about it? I would say yes and no. Number one, in the last year and a half, we have had five conferences that dealt with language preservation. And what was found out by the Potlatch Foundation in Washington is that with 15 to 30 minutes that is of language immersion in local school districts today, the amount of hours that is required for that at 2,000 hours, and you're taking that into the consideration of the 36 days that it would be required with those elements of math done, it's going to take that student 56.5 years to become fluent in the language. And so that's one of the things that I'm trying to do, is because the way it's stated is that a student who is fluent in bilingual and bilingual fluency, that they have more chances of a success as it is. So as you can see, that both of these bills kind of go hand in hand into that consultation, as well as the findings of the Accord schools, and going into the handoffs, Madam Chair, if I may direct your attention to the front ones with all the school districts. The ones with the 50% and higher goes from St. Ignatius all the way up on the second page, and covering the full page of the first page. And these are school districts that are within the exterior boundaries of each reservation. So, we can probably go higher, but I felt comfortable enough to address these numbers with this population. And right after those two, Madam Chair, I have provided an Indian education policies and procedures. And as I mentioned earlier, I hope I didn't confuse the issue, but when I talked about the mill levies versus the impact aid monies that comes down to the local school districts within the reservation, there is a waiver, an impact fee waiver from the school districts that they request from the tribal governments. And so when every February 1st, and my tribe had given the waiver to both schools in my district, no questions asked. The school district didn't even explain to the council what they are waiving. So what basically happened is that if the tribe ever questioned the school district, hey, all of those K through 12 students that you're teaching over at the school there, I want to know what you're doing as far as language immersion programs, using that as the example. Well, once they made that waiver, that fee waiver on that impact aid, the tribe basically waived any type of accountability on those school districts, as any other taxpayer would have done if we had that luxury of doing the fee waivers or the mill levies. But what this is here, Madam Chair, on the school district is a sample of what, if this passes, and this would be a negotiating tool from the tribes that would say, tell the school district, hey, school district, get over here, get to the table. I want you to consult with me, or I want to consult with you, vice versa. And I think that this would give the upper hand for tribes as far as getting control of their local education priorities, and giving that, going back to that example of what I said when my tribe had declared that resolution in October 2019, that if the tribe had prioritized that as their priority, looking at the numbers, why it's so important. In my tribe, I have 7,000 members in my tribe. 4,000 live there, so that tells me there's 3,000 out there. So of that 4,000 in 2013, we had 167 fluent Cree speakers, one Ojibwe. Today, we're down to 20 Cree speakers, zero Ojibwe. So if we don't create some solutions for change of some sort or some type of preservation in hand, then we're going to be witness to the extinction of languages in our state. So I hope I didn't take up too much time, and I'll stand for questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We will go to proponents in the room first, please.
Dagucciab, how in Washinia, Montana, in Nakonia, Itanchabi, Makai Itancha Magiab, Udishina, Jemachino, and Tabecha Wakba and Wati, Ambane, Mito Yade Nakon Yade Nechinagani, Namakochu Shimana, and all, Mitugashi Dagu Shkashka, Mitugashi Dagu Waka. Michinchibi, Michunchibi, Mitokojabi, Nechinagani, Namakocho Magia, Bintono, Adeokchitgap, Nechu, Nechu, Mito Yade, Nakon Yade, Nechinagani, Namakoch, Nakon Ia, Snokia Jusin, Montana, Itanchabi, Gichi Omani, Egan, Nakon Ishokange, Snokia, Bintono, Pename, Shumano. In the Assiniboine language, I introduce myself as Shakes the Ground. That's my lodge name. I address the Montana legislature, the Itanchabi, or the chiefs of Montana. That's our equivalent to the committee and the state legislature. I introduce myself in the Assiniboine language. Of course, Shakes the Ground, that's my medicine lodge name. I'm also known as Tatangamani, or Walking Buffalo. My Aani name is Tall Man on a Gray Horse. That's my Grovant name for my great-grandfather. I belong to the Red Bottom Clan of the Assiniboine Nation. I live in Wolf Creek, or what we know as Frog Creek, or also known as Wolf Point. So as Representative Kmetz had said, we have a vast number of code talkers from the past. My uncle, Gilbert Horn, the late Chief Gilbert Horn, had passed away a number of years ago, but he had been one of Merle's marauders, and he had also been instrumental in World War II, utilizing the Assiniboine language for code which wasn't broken, of course, and was, of course, protected by the confidentiality of top secret security clearances and all that. But and when the co-talkers had been able to talk about these things and our tribes had recognized the co-talkers, we had you know, quite a bit of anxiety from the fact that 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or that would have been about 60 years ago, that the number of fluent Assiniboine speakers were vast. Even in the 1990s, my grandfather, Leslie Forstar, he was a fluent speaker. He was full-blooded Assiniboine. And now we're down to when they were awarding those co-talker medals, and we were down to three fluent Assiniboine speakers on the Fort Peck Reservation.
Mr. Forstar, maybe yes. This is something that you could connect with Representative Kimetz offline, but we do need to testimony on the bill, please.
I'm wrapping it up, and I'm coming around to the purpose of the intent of my speech today. I wanted to thank you all for listening to me and having the patience. I have before me a letter from the Montana American Indian Caucus. I want to emphasize the importance of the actions of the sponsor. Dear Madam Chair Zolnikoff, the Montana American Indian Caucus writes in support of HB 395. Introduced by Representative Jonathan Windyboy, HB 395 is supported by members of the Montana American Indian Caucus who urge the passage of HB 395 to improve school district consultation with American Indian tribes. There are several school districts with 50% or more American Indian students in Montana. The passage of this bill will enable tribes to consult with school districts for the long-term success of American Indian students alongside their parents, who also will have the opportunity to assess whether their districts are providing meaningful and ongoing opportunities to review and make recommendations on the district's programs and activities. We, the MAIC, urge a due pass of HB 395 submitted by the Montana American Indian Caucus. Senators and Representatives Fox, Morjo, Small, Weber, Hawk, Running Wolf, Smith, Stuart Paragoy, Weatherwax, and of course the sponsors, the sponsor of the bill, Representative Jonathan Windyboy. The point of my long speech was that I'm a grandfather of 15 grandchildren. I've raised 7 kids to adulthood in the Montana School District in Wolf Point. I've been the chairman of the Wolf Point Indian Education Committee. I have 20 years of experience on the front line of what it's take to do a small amount of reversing the damage it has done to my people for our loss of our language and our culture. But I just wanted to reiterate the importance of bills like this, and this is a good bill, so I urge you to pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Good afternoon, House Energy, Technology, and Federal Relations Committee. My name is Patrick Iwaki. That's spelled Y-A-W-A-K-I-E. I'm representing Blackfeet Tribe today in support of House Bill 395. There is a great need for more accountability for our tribal students attending public schools in Montana. Montana ranks in the lower half of the country in educational success. In all 302 Montana school districts, reservation schools rank lowest in the state in test scores. There is also a harsh reality that tribal nations and their communities are losing their language speakers. Fluent language speakers are becoming so rare that in 2019, the Rocky Boy Chippewa Cree Tribe issued a state of emergency for the loss of their speakers. What we are asking for today is greater accountability for our reservation public schools and the tribal students in those state public school systems. There are impact aid funds that the state of Montana distributes to the public schools in the state for tribal students attending their schools, as prescribed in MCA 29330. In 2020, there was 223 per tribal student distributed to Montana public schools, and 229 per tribal student in 2023, as calculated in MCA 29306. Public schools are also allocated funding for the Indian Education for All program, as prescribed in MCA 29329. Distributed Indian Education for All funds are calculated at $22.70 for fiscal year 2022 and $23.28 for each succeeding fiscal year times the average number belonging of the district, or $100 for each district, whichever is greater, as prescribed in 29306. When schools are especially over 50%, we must ensure that those funds are reaching reservation public schools and the tribal students to close the achievement gap between reservation and non-reservation public schools. Without any safeguards, the consequences are dire for Montana tribal communities. Without safeguards, we cannot provide greater effectiveness and efficiency for the investment and planning for, of these impact dollars for tribal students and the IEFA funds for Montana public schools. Implementing consultation requirements builds on the state of Montana's constitution, specifically Article 10, Section 1, Subsection 2. The state recognizes the distinct and unique cultural heritage of the American Indian and is committed to its educational goals to the preservation of their cultural integrity. This can build on the responsibility as well to the government-to-government relationship between the state of Montana and Montana tribal nations. And thank you. And I have a copy of my testimony to give for the...
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Good afternoon again, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jade Barr, BAHR, and I'm here on behalf of the Montana Budget and Policy Center. We rise in support of HB 395 because it looks to strengthen the state's consultation with tribal nations and works to promote long-term success for American Indian students. All good things. We hope this committee can see this as an easy yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Chair Zolnikoff, members of the committee, my name is Keegan Medrano. That is M-E-D-R-A-N-O, and I am here representing the American Civil Liberties Union of Montana. We recommend a yes vote on HB 395 that seeks to foster consultation and collaboration between states and tribal nations in the pursuit of more effective, culturally responsive, and attuned education for Montana students, and in the service of good governance and taxpayer accountability. We view this bill within a suite of bills that the House Education Committee and that the full House have already considered, and we believe that this is part of this body's commitment to fulfill the statutory and constitutional directives around Indian education for all. We must fulfill the past, present, and future of Indian students and all others. Now, ProPublica data that synthesizes information from federal and state agencies identified 40 school districts, accounting for about 13%, that feature at least 50% Indian students. And these include various that you have in the list before you, including Pryor Elementary School District, Dodson K-12 School District, and Ronan High School District. The graduation rate for Montana's high schools is about 83 to 84%, but in the applicable districts and locatable data, I wanted to highlight that Lame Deer High School District, which is on the list that Representative Wendy Boy handed out, their graduation rate is around 40 to 49%, whereas Poplar High School's graduation rate is about 35 to 39%. And so we believe that this bill signals that commitment and that opportunity to fulfill, again, the Indian Education for All, which is found, of course, in our statute and constitution. We recognize that also the schools, many of the schools on this list have disproportional rates of exclusionary disciplinary practices. It's practices where students are actually, forced or compelled, scheduled to leave the school system for punishment, and also heightened levels of police referrals and SRO referrals in these schools. And so we believe that this bill, alongside many of the others that Representative Wendy Boy is sponsoring, could lead forward to us redressing both student achievement, but also access to education. Thank you. And Chair Zolnikoff, may I be excused?
Does anyone have any questions? Okay. No, you may be excused.
Thank you.
Next proponent, please. Seeing no further proponents in the room, if you are a proponent online, please raise your hand. It looks like we have Tahin Perez.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the House Energy, Technology, and Federal Relations Committee. My name is Tahin Perez. That's spelled T-A-apostrophe-J-I-N, last name P-E-R-E-Z, with Western Native Voice. And in support of House Bill 395, we believe that it is a positive step forward to address the unique needs of Native students in the hopes of improving achievement outcomes and addressing parent and community needs and concerns related to Indian Education for All implementation. And lastly, it respects tribal sovereignty as entities deserving of government-to-government consultation between state government and the state offices with tribal governments. And so we do urge a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hansen, do we have more proponents online?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Seeing no further proponents, we will move to opponents. Seeing none in the room, do we have opponents online?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, seeing none, we will move to informational witnesses. Seeing none in the room, do we have any online?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, we will go to questions from the committee. Representative Brewster.
For the sponsor, please.
Representative Windy Boy.
Madam Chair, Representative Brewster.
Madam Chair, Representative Windy Boy. I know you're kind of a vision guy. So my question is, what would a language immersion program look like if it was part of the public school? Would you have immersion classes? Would you have a half day with only native language used? I'm trying to see what your vision is of what would turn that around.
Madam Chair, Representative Brewster, in 2015, there was an ILIP bill that passed. That was Senate Bill 342, which basically, no, it's a 272. And what that did is it provided the mechanism for schools to apply for this. And it had up to 50% of the school day can go into Indian language preservation program, immersion programs. And since then, there was funding that was provided for admin costs at that time. And two Blackfeet and Crow had were successful in in those applications under the OPI that provided two rounds of funding. And this round, my tribe or a school at my tribe had applied for it. So one of the things and challenges that I've seen that school districts had found was they were afraid of that 50% immersion and maybe it's true, you know, that they may not have the time to implement the other core standards, whether it be math, history, whatever the other core standards that they have under the school district. But on the other hand, what I wanted to do with the language immersion program, there's a lot of things that need to happen to assist local school districts, because right now the local school districts don't have the expertise as far as providing these types of language immersion programs to be implemented on local level. And one of the conferences in Great Falls that we sponsored over the course of the year was we brought in Dr. Kukahakalau, who is from the Hawaiian Immersion Program. And so my thought of why we brought her in is, why reinvent the wheel? And so when we brought her over, she done her whole presentation, and one question that Chairman Beatty of Section E asked me point blank, he said, can you define proficiency in the May meeting? And I told him, well, probably not right now, but give me a chance, give me a month or two, I said. And then the June interim committee, I'll come back with you with what we recommend. So what she did is she put together a whole program of proficiency, which included language, which included songs, which included sign language, which included astronomy, which included, what's the difference between astronomy and astrology? Oh, astronomy is the stars, yeah. And so a lot of these things that were on her proficiency standards and at what level from basic to expert, was something that we had for centuries because we had astronomy, we had botany, we had all of these things that was around us with nature, with everything else that we provided for that type of educational things for us, whether it be roots and medicines and everything that we provided for on our local levels, and even to the food, even to the point of food sovereignty that people use as a word today. We've had that with the buffalo. As a matter of fact, Fort Peck has had an amazing program that basically had a whole curriculum in itself about tanning a buffalo or skinning a buffalo and doing all of the cuts and pieces of that. And so those types of curriculum is something that we practiced, and it's something that we haven't explored yet. But the only one who has explored into that was the Crow tribe. And they've taken Dr. Koo's curriculum that she provided, and they're implementing it with the schools and within the Crow reservation. So the action is moving. What we're trying to do here is just trying to enhance that. And it's not just for natives. I mean, when we come back, I just kept that on your list of that 50%. We wanted to have a small caption of those at the very bottom, and then maybe next time we can lower that down to 30% to expand into more schools to have that fully understanding about the natural way of living how we used to have it a long time ago. So it's an ongoing curriculum that we just want to try to implement on immersion stuff.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Phelan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just before the sponsor.
Representative Wendy Boy.
Madam Chair, Representative Phelan.
Representative, are there any teachers to teach your children?
Yes, Madam Chair. Representative, right now, under the Class 7, how the Class 7 educator is that the OPI has classified certifications for different teachers. Like, say, for Joe Schmo over here, goes to school, gets a four-year degree, bachelor's education degree, and then in return he has to take a license program to become a student teacher in the program. So in this case, those educators can be class 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever. And in this case, there's class 7 certified teachers, which is specified specifically for class 7 Indian language certified teachers to go in there. But what's unfortunate is that over the course of time, you know, just like history, math, and all of these other curriculums, and a lot of their curriculum development and everything, there's somebody with a PhD, higher IQ than me, which is kind of room temperature, you know. But anyways, the point being is that when those curriculums for all of these other programs are already submitted, it's probably going to cost somebody, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars for just to have somebody implement a curriculum. In this case, the Class 7 certifieds are required to produce a curriculum of their language to be taught in the school system. So there is that mechanism of Class 7 certified teachers that do that already do this. And right now there's roughly, I wish OPI was here, but I think there's roughly 150 Class 7 certifieds around the state based
Follow
on
up?
11.
Follow-up.
So, Madam Chair, Representative, so is your languages mainly being taught by the parents?
No. And the reason why I say that, I'll give you an example of me of why I'm not fluent as well as I want to, is because a lot of intertribal marriages happen. My mother's a fluent Assiniboine speaker. My dad was fluent Cree. And when they got together and married and started their family, it was decided on them that English is going to be the main language. But even though that there are some families within my tribe that were both married and spoke the same language, those kids were lucky to have that. Not everybody has it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Fielder.
Madam Chair, I have a question for Mr. Iwaki.
Mr. Iwaki.
Madam Chair, Representative Madam Chair, Fielder.
Mr. Iwaki, I called on you because you're one of the younger generations here. And my thought about education is it's supposed to enable, give people skills and abilities so they can go out and get a job and function in life. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, younger generations tend to be more mobile, and we never know where we're going to end up in the world. Mm-hmm. How would you rate, seems like a lot of this is based on Native American language and preserving that culture. How would you rate that as an educational priority compared to math, science, auto mechanics, finance, business administration, or other teaching opportunities that students on the reservations might be able to use to improve themselves and secure careers wherever they might end up in the world if they left reservations and went somewhere else?
Madam Chair, Representative Fielder, what I would try to point out is, our loss of language isn't, lost in the past and isn't representative of only our history or our past, but something that is changing every day and accommodates the changing world around us. Just like any other student who is bilingual, this offers them to become more successful in their educational path by keeping their mind nimble and, resilient to, the changing world around them. It also gives them an opportunity, and something I wanted to touch on with the last question was, it isn't the parents that are teaching these children. It's the children who are teaching the parents. And that's something that is intergenerational. That's something that we are trying to heal in terms of our communities. And so when we talk about language, it's not just about what the curriculum is going to look like or how much of the day is going to be surrounded by language, but how is language going to accommodate the rest of those core classes for their success in the long run.
Could I have a follow-up, please, Madam Chair?
Follow-up.
A quick follow-up. There's a lot of languages that people can come bilingual in. Obviously, you're Blackfoot, so I would ask, how important is Blackfoot compared to other languages that might be spread around the world to more countries and stuff, as far as if somebody was to leave the reservation and go out and be finding a career in another part of the world?
Representative, and that's a pretty objective question. I don't really feel like that's relevant to the bill. Everybody has their own opinion on what language are valid to learn.
I can make a comment on it.
Go ahead.
So the Blackfeet tribe in Montana is one of four other Blackfoot tribes that encompass both the United States and Canada. And so there is international, trade that can occur with this language, the preservation of our language here in the United States with those tribes in Canada. And so, and tribes have been trading amongst each other for centuries. And intertribal trade is something that, when we talk about food sovereignty, is an effort to restore those types of connections with other tribes. And it doesn't stop with language. There's also sign language that we use as well that also assisted in our trading and in our language in the past that we can use in the future.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Galloway, but before we continue, I want to remind everybody that this bill is not specifically about language immersion programs. This is about a consultation that would happen between a tribe and a school if their population is more than 50% Native American children. So with that, we've kind of gotten into the weeds here. So let's take a step back and maybe scan through the bill for a quick refresher. So Vice Chair Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the sponsor.
Representative Windy Boy.
Madam Chair, Representative.
Madam Chair, thank you, good representative. Just help me get some practicality of what we're trying to accomplish. First question would be, Have you failed in being able to go to the individual school boards or school superintendents?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes. And the reason why I say that is I'm the director of the Department of Indian Education and with my tribe, and I'm also my tribe's TIPO, so for disclosure purposes, that's also my role there. And what I've done locally is they're their own entity. They have a plot of land within the reservation, basically off limits. If there was an incident that happened with the school, within the school, then it's going to be their responsibility if they were to have, so as individuals, that's kind of like a sacred land. But the thing is that on my other role as the director of Indian education with my tribe is that we tried to implement a lot of these things. We tried to get a lot of things that were meaningful on behalf of the tribe. And even though that I did sit in on one of the school board's meetings, that was what I've heard came out of that meeting, is that it was always stated, state law dictates this, state law dictates that, state law says this, state law says I can do this, state law says I can't do that. And so I figure, well, gee whiz, if I can't even get past the front door here, maybe state law does need to change so that they can recognize that, so they can support that, because the tribe had formed the Department of Indian Education under my tribe in October 2019. And so we were successful. I hope I'm not dogging them too much, because, and we recently signed an MOA, but, and also with the Box Elder School. But the thing is that even though that we come up with this MOA, it kind of basically had become as good as the paper that it's written on. There hasn't really been anything meaningful as far as moving forward. And giving you an example, in 2017, I was asked to go speak to the graduating school students there, which were 19 of them. And that's the same thing. And I asked them, all, how many of you feel comfortable that there has been, you've been equipped with the language and culture that you hoped to have received? No, nobody raised their hand. And so the need is there, the want is there from the kids, but it's just that they feel that they're, that those needs and wants that they have within the school district isn't being addressed. Okay. And so
Follow up?
Madam Chair.
So, earlier, Madam Chair, Representative, I thought you'd said that there was success with the CCRO in implementing a program. Have you followed up to see what they did, if their program's being accepted?
You have to rephrase that question. Success in what?
Clarify.
Follow up, Madam Chair. On earlier testimony, I thought you had said that the Crow Tribe had successfully implemented a program. So have you looked at their success to see if you need to find out how they approached it, if they're having success?
Yeah, Madam Chair, thanks for the clarification. Yes, they have. And the individuals here there and the Crow Tribe, as you know, is a lot bigger and has more schools in there. And when they have taken proficiency model of Dr. Ku out of Hawaii immersion, and they've implemented it, and the way it sounds like right now that they're doing yeoman's job, and that's part of what we're doing here. And I'll address some of that in my closing, Madam Chair.
One more follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up.
Sure.
So in the first page of the bill there on line 21, it's in there, it's spelling out this and that, but then it says the tribal government may decline consultation. That kind of confuses me. Could you elaborate on what that
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you know, that tribal governments are their own governing entity, and what that basically says is that it's up to the tribe if they're already in good working order with one another, that they may decline it. It's up to them. I mean, it's not, I don't want to be the one to say that you must do this. You have to have this. It's just that those that do not have that type of relationship that does address what we're trying to accomplish.
One last follow-up.
Follow-up.
Andrew.
Madam Chair, Representative, I don't mean to sound adversarial, but you realize that almost every school board across the state has parents that come in and groups that have issues that they can't get resolved. So, and that's the whole idea of being able to elect people to those school boards or to those superintendent positions that do represent you. So, you know, this is a hardship that I think we all endure, not just the tribes.
Yep.
Is there a question in there?
Just seeing if you'd agree, you did.
Madam Chair, I can respond to that. And I agree with you, you know, and I think that when you take a school board election on my tribe, if you get 60 votes, you're in. Where you take a look at the tribal election, there's 1,000, 1,200 turnout, easy. So there's a whole matter of who wants to get involved with the civic duty is up to those locally. So, yeah, we struggle with that as well.
Thank you.
Representative Winnie Boy, you can stay at the podium because I have a question for you.
Madam Chair.
So I'm reading on line 27 of page 1. It says, well, that line there says, review and make recommendations on the districts. And then it lists a couple things and goes on to the second page. So what I'm gathering here is that the tribe would be able to make recommendations on these various things. But my question is there any, I see that this is your handout. Is this a mock sheet? I guess my question is if somebody can make a recommendation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that if someone's recommending something to me, that doesn't mean I'm going to follow it. So my question is, I guess, where is there any sort of recourse for how those recommendations are taken into consideration and what changes are enacted because of them?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was going to be part of my close there. And if I may go through to get a better understanding, make sure everybody's on the same page here on line 25, that a tribal consultation under the section must address at a minimum the following: the school district's plan to provide the tribe and parents of American Indian students with meaningful and ongoing opportunities to review and make recommendations on the district going on education program activities, use of funding for Indian education, all under existing MCA and American Indian student achievement gap under existing MCA, and efforts to ensure that American Indian children benefit from the educational program and activities. The school districts plan to assess at least annually the extent to which American Indian children participate on an equal basis with non-Indian children in the district's education program and activities, and the school districts plan to share the result of this assessment with the tribe and parents of American Indian children. The school districts plan to modify and continually improve its plans under subsection 3A and 3B with the input of the tribes and parents of American Indian children. And the school districts plan to clearly demonstrate that its plan under subsection 3A incorporate the input of the tribe and parents of the American Indian children. A school district that consults with the tribal government under the section shall document the consultation report to the superintendent of public instruction in a form prescribed by the superintendent. The superintendent of public instruction shall report in accordance to the education interim committee of the state tribal relations committee of the consultation under the section. So basically, Madam Chair, getting back to your question on that one, there is that it, what this is also an accountability bill for us to make sure that our departments here at the state are also being held accountable on both parts. And right now that it's been kind of a one-way street here, that the public school system is kind of just running without, and that's my point, is that of why I'm doing this, is that there is no accountability as far as what the school is doing on behalf of those constituents of tribal leaders in my tribe. And then this handout here is just a sample of what could be negotiated. This isn't something that they have to do, but at least this is something that we're being provided that, okay, if you guys want to do something meaningful, let's take a look at this. Why reinvent the wheel?
Thank you. So I'll just follow up on that very quickly. So say a consultation does occur between the school and then the tribal official, and the recommendations have been made and documented, and there is some sort of point of contention, you know, the tribe wants to see something enacted, the school district doesn't want to do it, there's this sort of back and forth. Per lines 15 and 16 on page 2, would the superintendent of public instruction, would they be, since they're reporting, are they a sort of third party in this negotiation, or how would that play out if there was potentially a conflict in a consultation?
Thank you for that question. Yes, that's exactly how this would play out. And as you can see, going down farther onto the line 16 there, that in accordance with the 511-210 at the Office of Public Instruction, superintendent will also will be reporting to the State Tribal Relations Committee. So not only is the OPI going to be doing the report, but she'll also be providing that report to one of our interim committees here.
Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? Okay, seeing none. Before you close really quickly, I guess I do have one last question. Sorry. So my last question is, for American Indian students, are those students that have tribal membership or are just of that nationality? Is the tribal membership required to be considered under this bill?
Yes, it okay. is. And under the tribe's enrollment laws that will make sure that they identify. So a lot of times when they identify, they'll check that box.
Thank you. And then Vice Chair Galloway has another question too.
Madam Chair, Vice.
Madam Chair, Representative, something you said popped into my head. In your family, you ended up having two different languages.
Mm-hmm.
So in an area, couldn't you have that problem too? Who decides which language you would implement in an area if you have descendants of different tribes in that school system?
Yeah, well, mostly the tribes of those school districts within the reservation are usually enrolled with that tribe that they're involved with. And say, for example, the Little Shell, that's out of Great Falls, they're Ojibwe speaking, and they're our sister tribe with Rocky Boy. And so if they were to provide for any type of instruction under the Ojibwe, you know, if we can help, we're going to help them out. But then at the same time, whoever they want to provide that education, whether it be a native or non-native, is going to be basically up to them as well. I mean, this isn't exclusive. It's just something that we're trying to make available for those that are interested.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, would you like to close on your bill?
Real quick, Madam Chair, and thank you for a good hearing. You know, there was a question that was raised about the importance of language, you know, and it was well said by one of my late one single Ojibwe speaker who died a couple of years ago at the age of 86. And he said that, he told me one time that it's a key for us to communicate with God. And I know this isn't a religious issue, but the connection that we have with a higher power is that connection that we feel is important with our language and our language speakers. And to us, language is a way of life, and it is a staple of our culture and our ceremony. So that's the reason why that we need, it's really important for us to try to do everything we can to think outside the box. And that's what I want to do, is think outside the box and try to create something that's going to be doable for everybody. Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Thank you. This concludes the hearing on House Bill 395. Okay, so as I mentioned, amendment for Bill 349 is not ready, so we will likely do that one on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, we will have a presentation from the PSC answering a couple questions pertaining to House Bill 284 that we heard a couple weeks ago. This was by request of a few committee members, so it took a little while to get that scheduled, but I'm happy they'll be coming in on Wednesday. So that being said, we also have House Bill 220 on Wednesday as well, so we'll have those two things. That being said, is there anything else for the good of the committee? Okay, seeing none, House Energy is adjourned.